Welcome into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Frank the Tank Baraska, who, by the way, made his television debut just before our show on the Raptors with the boys.
You say we dropped the ball by not having a player of the game thing. They got the chain, the Raptors chain.
Yeah.
We should really have something.
I don't, like a belt or a helmet or something, really?
Well,
will that help our morale? Does it bring us, would that bond us?
I will say that my beer league team has like a hard hat, like a yellow one with like our logo on the front of it. Yeah. And when you get that, it feels pretty good. It does.
You haven't experienced it yet.
I actually won it last time.
No.
I own it. It's in my possession right now.
You've won it?
I've won it a couple times,
but we're just three people, and you can only give it to Brandeo that often.
Great observation.
Yeah, great observation. We're glad you're aboard here on our Off the Rails Friday. Wherever you're watching or listening on Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6 p.m., and wherever you get your podcast. And remember, on Friday, especially Fridays, we want to hear from you. Text us at 590-590. We'll read them today in our final segment. Great show, of course, which means Doug McLean in about an hour. He has got so much because we didn't get him on last week because we had a condensed one-hour show based on
Black Friday. Chicago Blackhawks.
So you know he's got all this pent-up frustration. So we're just going to say welcome Doug McLean in the second hour, and then why don't we go to the calf or something and grab a bite to eat and
let him roll.
All right, take
good.
Over for about 10 or 15 minutes.
I think he can win the Nyes argument that we thought we won one day.
Yeah. Hey, before we get into it.
I love listening to you when I'm on.
The 2024 Rogers NHL All-Star Game will be expanded to a three-day event with the NHL All-Star Thursday at Scotiabank Arena featuring the Tim Hortons NHL All-Star Player Draft, the NHL Alumni Man of the Year honoring the 1967 Maple Leafs, and the Canadian Tire PWHL 3-on-3 Showcase. Tickets to the All-Star Thursday go on sale Tuesday, December 5th at 10 a.m. on Ticketmaster. You can catch the action, including the NHL Rogers All-Star Game on Sportsnet, fellas. So that's coming up soon. I believe that would be Tuesday, right? So there you go. Next Tuesday's tickets go on sale.
Okay, in about 30 minutes, we're going to welcome in former NHL defenseman and radio analyst for the Boston Bruins, Bobby Beers, will join us, and we'll tee up that game. But we got a lot of work to do between now and then because, once again, we're going to follow up Tuesday's shootout win against the Florida Panthers with a Seattle Kraken shootout win.
Yeah. You know how we take texts on Fridays? Again, text us at 590-590. Shout out to Matt Whitaker, who's a regular listener of the show, a listener of the show, if
he's
you will.
A regular Whitaker.
Yeah, he is. He says, boys, there's much to be concerned about, but the Buds have 6 regulation losses in 21 games, have killed 18 straight penalties. Mitch scored a hattie, and they're getting points while not at their best. It could be so much worse. Please discuss. I thought I'd come up with a positive vibe.
Glass half full there.
There's some liquid in the glass.
So do not bring that same Tuesday / Wednesday crap.
I read that preemptively because I know what I have to say about last night, and it's not all
positivity. Does it make you feel better that at least the first period felt a lot better than the first period against Florida? And we'll get into the second and the third period where they, many of them, including their best players, not Mitch Marner,
went to sleep.
I was going to say got schooled, got absolutely destroyed, crushed.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, you're the analytics guys.
Yeah.
You tell me what the numbers were because the numbers were not pretty.
No.
But it started well in the first period.
I mean, not to come out of the gate incredibly cynical.
Nah, just have at it.
I mean, I would hope so. The Seattle, they're not the Florida Panthers boys.
No.
They're a team that you can kind of, I thought the Leafs look like the bigger, stronger team. They're able to push them around a little bit. They're not like a team that's going to look you in the eye and go toe-to-toe with you like the Florida Panthers. Like, just to me, you should be dominating them in the first period and the second period and even the third period because they're not very good. And the fact that's what hurts my, anyway, sorry to be so cynical around the top.
That's all right. Okay,
but that's how I feel.
I'm going to put the brakes on it for a little while.
Okay, here we
go. And it's my fault because I should have steered this right to a better vibe. So let's start with a the best vibe of the night.
Okay.
Mitch Marner.
Yeah, it was good. Well, I mean, okay. Yeah.
So, you know, everybody that was ready to run him out of town.
Yeah.
I don't know how they feel today.
All they had to do was put him with the team's best player, John Tavares, and he's back. He's back, baby. He was unbelievable last night. He was the best player on the rink. He might have been the best player in the league last night. I'm not even being sarcastic. He was so good last night.
Just the confidence, the body language, the even the feel of his shootout winner.
Yeah.
And the edge work that, I don't know, if he misses, maybe you tell me he's too cocky coming down the ice a little bit. But it worked, and it just, I think it reinforced how he's been the guy that drives the team.
Well, then we should have given him more heat for the team not driving anywhere prior to now.
Oh, no, he did get a lot of heat.
Yeah.
He did.
It's, you know, one interesting thing, and this is, I wrote an article today. One of the things that stood out to me was the Leafs, the number one, and I'm not saying his success was due to playing with Tavares last night, but Tavares has actually been better than I think we've given him credit for in this show. And one of the things, he's first in the NHL in puck battles won. The top five is like him, and it's Ryan O'Reilly and, you know, the type of guys you would think of as good, like, puck battlers. So certainly a couple of his goals last night, Tavares makes a good play, and that helps him out a little bit. And also, I think, points the finger at Austin Matthews that Matthews hadn't been helping out Marner all that much either. So different look for Marner. He gets more pucks, finishes a few.
Just a touch or at least follow up on his Tavares comment. You put out a tweet on Tavares late in the first.
Oh, yeah.
Who got smoked? Bertuzzi?
Bertuzzi kind of got cross-checked in what looked like the face in real time, but he just kind of got him up here. And
it was a big hit.
It was a greasy but good hit. Took him off his feet. Guy got penalized for it. And then Tavares, unlike I've ever seen him do, just came flying in.
Yeah.
And who was it that he got? Number three? I don't know.
Yeah, Borgen. Will Borgen. Borgen.
Yeah. Just laid him out.
So I was at the game.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, I went to the game. In the alumni box.
Oh, wow. Why
wouldn't you? So you know what kind of view we got there.
Yes.
And it's the first thing I noticed as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to look twice, and it was Tavares.
Yeah.
Which I loved.
Yeah.
Loved.
Yeah, like, great.
And you just said it. You never see it.
Never see it.
And like, just a little bit more of that. Yeah. That can kind of move around the core four, gives the team a different vibe. But it's clear that it's an act that isn't necessarily a natural one for him.
Mm-hmm.
So,
did you see Matthews at all last night getting in scrums a bit too? Like, I wonder if their coach had a talking to or whatever. They've had some collective.
I hope they read my article.
Some come to Jesus, like, hey, maybe we should kind of hang around some of these piles a bit and stand up for one another.
It's not easy. And listen, I'm going to nitpick a little bit here.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Because I've lived it. I know what it's like to be on a team that is close and protective,
mm-hmm,
and stick together. Now, I give Tavares full credit for what we're just talking about, but I'm going to nitpick here. After he smoked who?
Borgen, Will Borgen.
Borgen?
Borgen, Borgen, Borgen.
Just stay there. Don't
I can't
leave.
Say I didn't think the same thing.
Don't leave.
I thought it actually worked in his favor that Borgen didn't go back at him.
The scene of the crime. You're the captain. You hit the guy. Within a split second, he backed off out of there, and there might have been 15,000 people that would have said, who was that? Well, I don't know. I can't tell. If he just stays in there and just looks somebody in the eye and just says, you know, a little scratch of the forehead with the middle finger or an FU or something, it's way better effect.
Yeah.
It's better. And it just doesn't come naturally to him, but I'll take what we saw last night out of him. But
it's
what you got to learn to stick together. And that is, if you're going to go in there, John, if you're going to make that statement,
mm-hmm,
take it in all the way, bud.
Yeah.
Wait for the cavalry to come in, get a scrum, tell somebody not on my watch, and you can't come into our barn and do that. And it's for your buck.
I think there was a moment when that happened where he kind of stopped and he looked and there was just no reaction to it at all.
Yeah, Morgan didn't go back at him
at all. No one went at anyone.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like, it was a...
Maybe everybody was just in shock.
Honestly, I think he was in shock. He's like, what did I just do? And ran this guy into the board semi-greasily. Like, I think he was sort of surprised.
But it was a good moment for him.
Semi-greasily is awesome.
Semi-greasily?
Yeah. I like that.
Thank you.
So you mentioned, you know, I'm the stats guy or whatever. So I did pull up the lines last night. That Matthews line last night got caved in. Holy smokes.
Second and third period. They actually looked okay in the first, right? They were moving it. There were a couple drop passes. We saw some skilled plays.
Yeah, if you like, you know, shot attempts, they had 4 shot attempts, 4 and 16 against. The Tavares line was 12, 4 and 5 against. You know, expected goals, they were at 20%. Tavares line at 80%, that sort of thing. So, yeah
it wasn't pretty. Matthews just...
What's going on? What do we think? So I wrote about him today. Honest question. So the theme of my article today was that I looked back the past 3 seasons, his 60-goal season last year and this year. 2 years ago, there was a 60-goal season. He's first in the NHL in the portion of his shifts that are in the O-zone. He's in the O-zone for more than any other player in the league when, you know, when he's out there. Last year, it's like, I don't know, forget what it was, not like 70th or 45th. And then this year, it's 145th. Like, he's way, way down. So is it the team? Is it the defenseman? Marner's the same way. Marner's 178th in the league in this category. They have not, now that, you know, Marner had a great night last night, but on the year, they just haven't looked like...
They're not spending any time in the offensive zone.
None.
That's the bottom line.
And if you're like a team that's going to be top heavy, you need the top to be heavy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I was trying to come up with answers, and I'm struggling.
You know, anytime teams play the Toronto Maple Leafs and you're going to spend 15 minutes in a team meeting, the majority of it's going to be circling number 34 and number 16.
Yeah.
But that shouldn't matter.
No, it does matter.
But they're,
because they're finding different ways to stop you, and it's up to 34 to find different ways to go against that.
I just feel like they would have been doing that 2 years ago.
He's still looking the same way to try to be successful, and you got to constantly reinvent yourself.
I had the theories in my article are like, okay, so the D are not as good, so they don't move the puck out or break it. That's same for all the Leafs, right? That would affect everyone that their D are not as good. But also, they don't forecheck as well. You know, we talked in the show about them not having a forechecking line mate. You know, is it conditioning? Is it, you know, could they lose puck recoveries? I don't know. Anyway, there's something up there, and that just, they need to start there to figure out their problems.
I think there's a lot of parts to his game that he should start really focusing on, and putting the puck in the net shouldn't be his top priority.
In 9 games, though, even strength goal, Kip. It's a pretty big priority.
No, but he still finds a way to, like, either cheat or be on an occasion the wrong side of the puck. His shifts are too long. I don't know if you... How long was he in on the 3-on-3? Like, there were times when he had the puck, and we see any other star player... And Mitch is really probably the best out of this, out of anybody 3-on-3, but they'll take it back and they'll regroup and they'll change. This guy wants to stay out there one more time. And it's like, what? For what? To get your goal?
Yeah, probably.
That'd be it.
Yeah, but no good.
I would agree.
No good.
Well, I think 3-on-3 is not hockey. So I'm not going to kill him for three-on-three.
No. It's a byproduct of everything else.
For sure.
That where you are on the details, the smaller details. And right now, I don't think he's spending enough time on him.
So I think there are stretches throughout a lot of his good seasons where he's had pretty long slumps.
For sure.
And I think, you know, the term streaky, which you like to use a lot for Matthews, is kind of similar to any hockey player, really. Like, most hockey players are pretty streaky in terms of getting hot and not or whatever. But, like, this one just feels different than a lot of other slumps. Where it's
he doesn't have the puck,
just feels a lot less noticeable. So I'm not really sure what's going on. Like, is it that?
Is it the regular season
that he doesn't? He'll be there. I don't know what it is.
What do we need to see when he's not scoring to be more noticeable?
No, I need to see him score.
Yeah, it's certainly a big part of it.
That's how they win. They need him to score.
You know, he's first in the NHL in stick check takeaways. He's doubled his body checks per game. Now listen, he's doubled his hits per game from last year. 2.3 last year, he's at 4.6 this year. He's still first in the league in block shots. Like he's sixth this year. So he blocks shots, takes away pucks, throws the body.
Where is he in takeaways now?
First.
In the league?
First in the league in stick checks. Check takeaways.
Yeah. What the? You'd rather him?
No, it's fine.
It's really good.
I don't know. I don't want to. Okay. It's good when you're winning and you're playing well and you're scoring.
But they are winning.
Right?
They are winning.
They're not winning.
They're winning.
They're not winning.
Kip, they're not winning.
They're not winning.
All right.
Give me, 2 points. Giving up.
Right? Literally. Yeah. They have ended up with a W in the column.
They're winning. They're winning.
2 games in a row, in fact.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. They're not winning. Joseph Wall is winning.
Yeah, he's been good.
Okay. No, he's been it, Sammy.
Yeah.
He's been it.
For sure.
He's the real deal Holyfield, huh?
Listen, I agree wholeheartedly that they don't look very good. Like, there's just no way to sit here and tell you that they do. But to the point off the top of the show, that while they're sucking and not looking good, they are still managing to win games, which they're not what the Oilers were a week ago.
They're not what the Flames were a week ago. I told you guys right from the get-go that getting points for this team will not be a problem to get them to the dance.
Which
you guys kind of paused a little bit a week ago.
But that's not
what this is about from here on in. It's just about getting yourself best prepared to look different to win 3 rounds.
Yeah. And, it'd be really amazing if they did that, but it's hard to believe after there's been a lot of evidence of them not doing that.
I know. So. You know, one thing that stands out to me last night is, we were texting Sammy, I think he was, after the second when they were up 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
And it just felt like one of those nights they were going to win 8-1.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were just, they're such a better team. Seattle's not physical in any way that should intimidate them. They're not as talented in any way. Like, it just felt, the Leafs are at home. Marner had a cut 3 at that point. It just felt like they were going to run away
and then they started working harder than the Leafs.
Yeah, that's probably it. I don't know. It's just, this year, they haven't had those games where you're like, you can really just take the foot off the gas and say, it's up 5-1. We're just going to run this out.
I've never in, 5-6 years, have seen a team spend a minute and a half or 2 minutes in their own zone and not touch the puck. Like, there were long stretches against Florida and there were long stretches against Seattle where they can't touch the puck. And if they had it, they lost it.
I know. They're in their own end. They don't break it out the same. They're spending way more time. The numbers bear it out, Kip. They're in their own zone a ton.
Okay, let's go to Sheldon.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Let's go to Sheldon Keefe for our first Kippers Clipper. What's it going to take to win a regulation game?
I'm sure thinking about it too much. You know, we've been in this situation a lot, getting asked about it every single day. And for good reason, we're getting asked about it, right? Because, you know, we haven't found a way to get on the right side of these things. But the other day, this is a really hard league to get points in. And just look before I came in to talk to you fine folks, and I think there's 23 teams below us in the standings right now. And we haven't played our best hockey, so we're in a pretty good place while we continue to work through the things that we have to improve upon. And the points that we've accumulated to this point, they're not nothing.
They were doing okay.
Oh, don't follow that clip with that.
That shook me up.
I think Sheldon said all the right things there. Like, you know, we haven't played well. The points are buying us time to sort these things out.
7-2-1. There's only the Rangers, LA. 10 games.
Yeah.
I think only the Rangers are better, and they're right there with the Kings and the Capitals. As
let me go to our
7-2-1
hypersonic secret group chat. No one can ever find.
But it really doesn't match up with the optics of what you've watched the last little while.
How much of it is just, you know, with Matthews and Marner and the lull with Nylander, and is it fatigue? Like, they're being leaned on so much, especially with some of these top guys in defense, too. They blow a 2-goal lead last night with Brody's on the ice. It's like they're being leaned on so hard.
Wow.
It's like night after night, they've played 10 extra periods.
It's
They're playing a lot of hockey.
The 3-2 goal by Seattle was Toivonen.
Yeah, where Camp lets him walk in off the wall, and then he goes inside on Riley and shoots
it in. Yeah, and like I'm watching Riley, and there's
Riley does that. He sags deep.
He does sag deep, but there's also Riley playing 30 minutes two nights ago, and I don't know what he finished with, but to maybe Sammy's point a little bit, like, come on, Morgan can't play 30 minutes, and you can expect him to be your best defenseman every night,
but is that
or at the top of his game.
Is that a theory with Matthews, with Marner, about how much, how many forwards in the league play more than them?
Well, the one thing, I think they're 8th and 9th in the NHL
in forwards
TOI.
Really?
Yeah, they've dropped quite a bit.
Interesting.
I actually looked today.
Okay, well, there you go. Thank you,
sir. The other thing that stands out to me, so wanted to give Tavares a little bit of love as someone who's winning a lot of pucks and making his line better. Tyler Bertuzzi has carried the line he's been on has carried the expected goals for 9 straight games or something like that. Like, his line has been the best line the Leafs have had for a good run here. And I really think that that is noteworthy too, is that that has helped the Leafs get by. The Leafs are 7-3-2 in their last 12, only 2 of them in regulation, those wins.
Yeah.
But Bertuzzi's been a huge reason they're getting points out of these games, even though he's not getting a ton of points.
He's not getting a ton of points, and you assume that maybe he can get on a run at some point, but right now he probably isn't projected to have more than maybe a 40-point season, maybe 20 goals.
Could he be cheap for the Leafs?
And that's not going to get him 5.5 million times 5.
I bet if the Leafs went to him right now and said, you know, made him an offer, could they get him buy low right now? Because the underlying numbers are good on Bertuzzi. I wonder if they could get
him. I'm sure
him.
He knows that.
Yeah.
I'm sure his agent probably has a pretty good idea.
It's just random radio hosts have more information than his agent.
I suck at hockey. Your agent's like, you better take this tiny deal.
True.
All right. Do you want to hear Sheldon talk about Mitch Marner?
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
He's back.
He looks confident to me. played with authority. Obviously, two power play goals. Going to get him going. But that's just... To me, that's part of it. You know, when you're feeling it, all of a sudden it starts to come to you. Breakaway goal for him, like that's vintage Mitch Marner. You know, breaking away like that and capitalizing, and again, authority in the shootout. So that's a great sign for us.
Yeah,
agreed.
I wonder if with Mitch, if he just felt a little bit of the effect of Willie Nylander having so much success that it made him start thinking about, like, where is this all heading?
Interesting, yeah.
I can imagine, and I tell people this all the time, you know, in my era when a guy would walk in the door, and I'll never forget when Luke Robitaille signed, I don't know, $22-23 million contract with the New York Rangers, how excited we were for him and how we guilted him into a big lunch that day and all of that. And then there's this new era with these kids today, and they do the math in their heads, and hey, they're happy for their teammates, but it's the first thought in their head isn't, I'm really happy for you. It's how is this going to affect me?
And because you're dividing up a pie instead of there being a bakery.
With Willie going from this guy to, you know, has all the potential in the world to be a star, to people saying now he's arrived, he is a star, and the Leafs, what are you going to pay, $11, $12 million for him? And I'm just wondering if there's a part of him that said, am I going to be the odd man out soon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's possible. He does seem... You know, he's aware of the market and, you know, I don't want to say emotional, but just in tune to...
I think he's more emotional than, or at least he's got that
sensitive
emotion that I think the others don't have.
Yeah.
They don't show it as much, because even his body language, and Kelly Rudy last Saturday talked about, you know, how he sagged a little bit if the puck didn't go his way.
Yeah.
He seems to wear things a lot more than the other guys.
I've seen this sentiment a few places in Leafs Twitter. It's Jeff Viette and Steve Dangle talking about how Mitch Marner is a guy who doesn't not care. He's a guy who cares almost too much. And I think that's a good point. that you can't care less when you sincerely care the way someone who grew up in this market and has always kind of coveted the Leafs, you can't turn that off, the amount he cares. So when it's going well, you know, you're on top of the world. And when it's not, I can see it being hard.
Okay, so will he leave Sweden as one of the greatest superstars that ever walked the planet for the Toronto Maple Leafs? Mm-hmm. And now he's had a couple of down games, and Mitch is back up again. If I asked you to pick one guy to keep and one guy to get rid of, who would you pick?
We all, for the record, Kip, we all said Marner.
Did you?
At the same money, yeah.
But even when he was hot, Willie, we all said Marner. Right? Didn't we?
Yeah.
You said Marner. I said Marner, yeah.
The crazy thing right now is how much, you know, Nylander's been like at times a 16, 17, 18 minute guy for the Leafs. His last five games are 23, 22, 26, 25, 23 and a half minutes.
Wow.
Like they're using him in a way.
But there was times when it was, and if you look at some double shifts over the last 10 days, 2 weeks, most often Sheldon would pick Willie to play with a third or fourth line than Mitch or anyone mm-hmm. else. He bumped Willie up.
Yeah.
So it came probably at the expense of Mitch Marner's minutes too in the last 10 days,
which
2 weeks.
Which he would like, I think, right? Typically think he plays too much and that's...
Yeah, and I thought, you know, up until the last three games, Willie was worthy of that.
Yeah.
To the point where it's like, if there's a guy on this team that you want out there to get a goal, you're probably going to go to Willie.
But boy, like that line, but you know, Willie's cooled off. Matthews doesn't have the pop and Nyes is just struggling. Is he not? Like I've been saying it for a week now.
Was it the drop pass late in the third?
I think they stopped using him after that.
He didn't go back out.
Yeah. That was Yarncroc started playing on that line, which I bet that happens next game. I don't think Nyes will stay on that line.
You guys know how I feel.
Mm-hmm. Too soon.
I'm a huge fan.
Same.
But this was going to head that way at some point. That, you know, a guy like that with that least amount of experience to go run shotgun with two $11 million players, it's really hard. It's really hard for a guy to come in there and feel like he can fit in while he's trying to figure out all the bells and whistles of this new league.
Yeah. Do you want to listen to Sheldon Keefe a little bit on Matthew Nyes, clip five?
I think, you know, like Matt's been like that line. I think he's been kind of up and down. If I'm remembering it correctly, I think Nyes got stuck out there for a really long shift at one point in time. I just thought wasn't quite recovered enough. So went with Yarncroc in that spot. But like we've talked about, he's got a great size and skill set that clearly shows that he should be in this league. Yet he's a young guy that's learning the league and figuring it out. And some of those moments show up. And he's not the only one. You know, Nick Robertson's trying to find the league and figure it out as well. So, you know, that's part of the process of becoming an NHLer, especially for those that don't spend much time, or in Nyes' case, any time in the American League.
Just say you benched a guy.
He won't throw anyone.
He's just like, yeah, we benched him.
Last season on our show, we did spend a lot of time talking about a left side that's kind of like the weakest out of your 12 forwards. And it's kind of leaning that way a little bit because
two of them are rookies, you know?
Because, you know, if you got Bertuzzi going, as you just mentioned moments ago. But now, behind Bertuzzi, he doesn't know what to do on the left side.
Yeah. Well, we're sitting here every day. We got no person, you know, we can't hurt anyone's feelings or anything. I wouldn't know who to put there. I guess Yarncroc. I've thought about it. Like, I don't know who you would play there right now, given Nyes kind of needs, like, it looks to me like you need to back off him a little bit and let him.
When Nyes struggles or makes a bad play, I told you, put Gregor up there.
Yeah, okay.
Get him for a period or a few shifts or something. He's not going to hurt you.
No, absolutely not. And frankly, he ran over a couple guys again. Like, this guy cares. He works. He finishes his checks. He can skate.
He can hit the side of a barn now.
I honestly feel like, what am I missing with Gregor? Like, why do I see him wrong? Because I think he's so good. Like, yeah. I think he's very effective. I think he is... a guy who can play top six.
Well, yeah, but you can't go up there. I feel like it's one of those things where...
Whoa, easy on the top six.
That's what I mean.
Well, that's how I feel when I've only watched about 20 games.
Let's just get him up there for a couple of shifts in a period.
I don't think he's a top line, like an Austin Matthews for the year partner, but like I don't think
he's a guy you can
less effective than...
Yeah, let him wet the beak. Let him get up there a little bit.
Right.
Feel it. Anyways.
Okay, D-Core struggling. Let's go to Sheldon Keefe to wrap up what he thinks of his blue line.
Been a lot. We've asked a lot of our guys. We're asking a lot of the guys that are playing more minutes. You're asking a lot of the guys, you know, that like Legas and Timmins and Benoit's of the world that are playing more and playing in different spots. So we're asking a lot there, but the guys are managing it. You know, is it a factor? I think some of our, you know, the two goals we gave up in the third there, to me, there's some soft defending there. Like, we just don't close quick enough. Perhaps that's some of that stuff that you're seeing in those moments. To me, we've got to manage those situations better. But credit to the guys, whether it's the situation we're in tonight with six or, you know, how many times through this season we've gotten guys injured and had to play with five. And the D core has... You know, for the most part, responded and found a way to keep us hanging around in these games.
And it's not like anybody's coming back anytime soon. Klingberg, we're going to wait and get an official report. Liljegren's got that high ankle sprain. Someone mentioned to me Gio had successful surgery yesterday.
It's going to be a while.
So it's going to be a while here. Yeah. I don't think many fans last night when I was at the game were too happy to hear Zadorov. Zadorov.
Zadorov, you know that.
Zadorov is in Vancouver when everybody felt like...
For nothing.
Somebody was coming from Calgary.
A fifth and a 2026 third.
Yeah, I think it's hard optics for me. Like, I know he's not great, but I think... Your circumstances sort of precede you. Like, you look at what your D-core is now, and there's no way he's not immediately better than three guys.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Someone had mentioned to me that didn't sound like Calgary's ownership was in any hurry at all to do Brad Treliving any favors.
That doesn't sound encouraging for Tanev and Hanifin.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me at all. Wasn't the prettiest finish there, was it, with him?
No.
Yeah.
No, it was not. So I don't know what that does for Tanev, but I know that there are multiple teams calling a lot on Tanev, including Brad and the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I don't know.
Tanev is a much better
fit. Brad would have a great relationship with Craig Conroy, but Craig's got to go back to people upstairs and say, this is the deal that I have. And they got to say yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that would be bad news if the one team that had available D-men who were good were untradeable with.
All right. Let's hit a break for beers.
Okay. We got...
What are we doing?
Bob Beers.
Oh, I thought we were getting beers.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, buddy.
It's Off the Rails Friday.
Yeah.
I do.
Maybe we should do a segment called Beers and Beers.
I would do a beer.
I don't think I'm eligible to be on that show, boys.
That is Bob Beers, the former NHL defenseman we are speaking of and radio analyst for the Boston Bruins as we tee up the Big Bad Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs Saturday night. Stick around. More Real Kipper after the break.
Get smarter when you listen to Hockey Talk, the Hockey PDOcast with Dmitry Filipovich. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee as we wait for Bob Beers to join us. Talk about the Boston Bruins. Let's just go down this path of what we started just before the break, and that is the news of Zadorov being traded to the Vancouver Canucks and leaving the Leafs still looking for help.
Yeah.
And I'll just start by saying I get what Zadorov could bring you, which is that element of size and a presence.
He also shoots it in the net sometimes.
Yeah. No, listen. Yeah. But he's also prone to a few mistakes.
Yeah.
And thus, didn't cost you a first round or a second. It cost you a third and a fifth.
Yeah.
Flames didn't look too heartbroken last night. They beat the Stars.
I think that was part of this, too. I think there is, you know, he had asked for a trade and they weren't very happy about it. I think there is some addition by subtraction.
Oh, let me just say that they wanted him out of the room.
Yeah. That
Calgary did.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why it happens.
Nobody gets traded 30th. In November.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's not perfect. And I think you have to have a real strong room. And maybe that's Vancouver now with Hughes as the captain and a better JT Miller and Petey. Maybe that's the case there. You can just kind of fall in place there. But I got to think that there's going to be a growing list of available defensemen as we start seeing teams slowly fall off here. I don't know if it's the worst thing for the Leafs not getting in on Zadorov.
Can I ask you this, though, both of you?
Yeah.
Can the Leafs continue to accumulate points with who they're running out there for half their decor?
It's not perfect, Sammy, but...
That's for sure.
Maybe... I don't necessarily think that asking Joe Wall to save you every night is the right blueprint to accumulate those points.
Yeah.
But you assume if his play falls off a little bit, and instead of an A-plus performance every night, he can give you a B-minus, and you can still find ways to points. For points, the problem is right now, based on what we saw the last two games, the Leafs cannot accumulate points unless he is an A-plus.
Yeah. You know, I think for the Leafs, if they don't change something on the back end or find something with their top guys, I think the wheels could come off for a stretch of games. You know, I don't think it's impossible that they go on a run where they're unlucky. Right now, they're a plus three goal differential team, and somehow they're like ninth in the NHL or whatever. They're third in their division and closer to the Boston Bruins than they've ever been, you know, in years right now, despite the process being off. So I don't think so, Sam. We're waiting on Bob Beers, who I think is going to be here in just a minute.
Okay.
Got him.
All right. As promised, let's welcome in Bob Beers, former NHL defenseman, doing a terrific job as the radio analyst for the Boston Bruins. Beersy with the best last name probably in the history of the game. How many times have you been told that, Bob?
Well, they used to make fun of me when I was a kid, right? But now it's like, you know, we wish you had your last name. We love your last name.
Well, listen.
I can't tell you how many times some of the linesmen called me Eddie, though. Do you remember Eddie Beers?
Oh, of course. Yes.
Yeah. I think he played for Calgary and St. Louis.
Yeah. Was he an Atlanta Flame once upon a time or no?
Well, say that again?
Was he in Atlanta before they moved to Calgary, or was that way after?
Good question. I'm not sure. I know he went to the University of Denver. I never met him. I don't know him, but not a common last name, so I wish I got to know him a little bit.
Well, listen, we appreciate it. We know you're coming off of a call last night where I think Boston fans are used to, and that's, you know, a Swayman shutout and a convincing win here. But it slid a little bit, but overall... Bob, let's just start with the thought that this was going to be a bit of a transition year with Patrice Bergeron gone and Krejci gone, but how have they been able to do this through your eyes?
Yeah, well, the first thing, Nick, is the goaltending. I mean, it's been outstanding all year. When it dipped a little bit, they lost a few games, and you saw the three losses in a row, and I think they're 6-4-2 in the last 12 games. So that's, you know, a far cry from the 9-0-1 to start the season. So they're probably somewhere in the middle of that. You know, they're a good team, but the goaltending's been outstanding. And, you know, 1-2 combination of, you know, either order you want to go with Jeremy Swayman and Linus Ullmark have been really good. And those first, you know, 10, 11 games or so, they were stealing them a couple of games. There's no question. There's been a handful of games where the Bruins were by far the much better team than whoever they're playing against, but the goaltending has been excellent. Penalty killing goaltending, and then some timely goal scoring as well. So it's been a combination of things. It's been real good, but you know, it's a long season, and I think reality kind of set in here over the last week or so where they lost those three games in a row. They weren't too happy about it, and, you know, they want to make sure they did something about it. And to be quite honest with you, San Jose is, I mean, we know where they are in the standings. They're not a very good team right now. They're going to hopefully build, you know, for something in the future. But the Bruins did what they had to last night, but it was against San Jose. And, you know, tomorrow they got to do it against Toronto, which can be a much different, much more difficult task.
I don't know if you listen to this show. We're pretty hard on Toronto. We treat them like they're San Jose sometimes. So who has stepped in the absence of some of their big names there in Boston from last year? I know Pavel Zacha seems like he's having a pretty good season. Who's filling the shoes so capably that the Bruins are once again number one?
Yeah, I mean, Zacha and Charlie Coyle. I mean, they've taken on a bigger role with, you know, not only Bergeron and Krejci. I actually was interviewing, Jim Montgomery the other day, and I said, you know, you're missing your two top centers from last year and, you know, this and that. And, you know, why have things kind of gotten away from you a little bit? And he made mention of Tomáš Nosek, who was a really valuable part of the fourth line and a guy that Montgomery counted on a lot in defensive situations. So you're missing three centermen from last year. And so, you know, you move Zacha to the middle. You've got Charlie Coyle there, who was basically the third line center last year. He's had a very good start to the year. And then you've got two young guys. You got a kid from Ontario and Matt Patra, who's played well for the most part. And you've got John Beecher, who came out of University of Michigan. He played for Providence last year in the minors in the American Hockey League. So it's a big difference. And I think if the goaltenders weren't bailing you out, you know, missing some of those centermen that you had that knew the system, that played it very well, that embrace the system, embrace their roles. It's been a little bit of a, I know that the record suggests that they've been really good, but, you know, I do have to emphasize it's been the goaltenders a lot. And there's been other things. I mean, they played well at times, but the goaltenders have bailed them out. And it's still kind of a work in progress for, you know, them down the middle and just incorporating a lot of new faces into the lineup this year.
We're talking to Bob Beers, who's helping us set up the Boston Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs for a hockey night in Canada Saturday night. As far as Brad Marchand goes, how would you assess his first quarter of the season? It has to be a big adjustment with no Patrice Bergeron, but still the same look, still the same feel from Brad?
You know, I love him. I know that people in Toronto and people around the league probably don't like him as much, but he's a guy that just cares so much. And Nick, I think he's putting a lot of pressure on himself right now. You know, he's played with Bergeron since 2010, 2011. They've been, you know, attached at the hip, and, you know, they've always been on the same line. You see one guy out there, you see the other guy out there. It's all the time. And now it's a bit of an adjustment. Now he's the captain, and he puts a lot of pressure on himself. And I think when he puts a lot of pressure on himself, he tries to do a bit too much. And that's what I'm seeing right now. And obviously I'm on the outside kind of looking in, but I do see him every game. And I've seen him over the years. That's what it looks like to me. He's still an elite player. But, you know, he puts a lot of pressure on himself and to help the team the best that he can. And that's kind of what we're seeing right now. I don't know if he would agree with me, but I think he would deep down. So, you know, he's hoping to get it going here a little bit. And he's had some chances. It hasn't really gone for him. He had a really good chance last night on a one-timer from the right-wing circle. He had a couple of other opportunities. But I do think that when he is in a situation where he's not producing, that he even puts even more pressure on himself. And that's what he's trying to kind of fight through right now.
You know, when I look at the Bruins roster kind of top to bottom, the D-core is just so good. And it's rare in the NHL to be able to have, you know, six pretty good D-men, or let alone six very good D-men. But the guy who interests me most is probably Charlie McAvoy. You know, I can never tell, is this guy in the, you know, star status tier of defenseman, or, you know, he seems like someone who still occasionally makes some glaring errors. Tell us about his season as a guy who's been over 50 points a couple of times. How has he looked on the back end for the Bruins?
Pretty good. Not quite where he needs to be, but pretty good. So they made a little change last night, not only to the forward lines, but they made a couple adjustments on the D pairs. And they put McAvoy with Hampus Lindholm, kind of a pair that they feel that they can help each other get going in the right direction, if that makes any sense. They put Matt Grizzlick with Brandon Carlo. So it, a little bit of a change, and it doesn't always go like that. Sometimes they change it up a bit, because McAvoy plays a top power play, and then Lindholm plays a second power play, and sometimes when you come off those, the man advantage or shorthanded situations, it takes a couple of times or a couple of rotations to get everybody back together. But, they played together last night, and I think that they can help each other. I think McAvoy's game is just, it's when he's really on, it's strong. I mean, he's physical. He had that suspension earlier in the year, and he actually talked about it a bit coming back. He was a little reluctant to throw that big hit that he's capable of, and the open ice hit. He knew that he made a mistake there on that hit. I think it was Ekman Larson from Florida, but he's a game changer when he's on his game. And he's getting there. It's close. And him and Lindholm can be a really strong pair together. I'm curious what they do tomorrow night. They don't have the last change against Toronto. Do they keep those two together? Do they split them up in case, there's a an icing or whatever the case is, and you want to make sure that you have the right people out on the ice. So curious what they see or what they do tomorrow. We'll find out a little bit more tomorrow at the morning skate.
Beersy, as far as the Boston Bruins and the Florida Panthers, we don't have to go too far to remember that amazing.
Nick, don't.
Just don't even go there.
Like, game seven, overtime, Carter Verhaeghe scores the one that makes the difference here. And yet we're watching both Florida and Boston run 1-2 in the Atlantic. In your mind, who is the team to beat?
In the Atlantic, in the East?
Boston sitting up top, I think 3 points ahead of Florida. But, like, who do you think ultimately, between now and the trade deadline, needs to make maybe a couple of adjustments? Like, who's chasing who here? Or is it even? Or do you see the Boston Bruins better, deeper? Who's the team to beat in the Atlantic?
Yeah, I don't see them as deeper and better. I see them as, there's a lot of teams that are right around 500 right now. It's kind of a crazy season so far. You see all those teams kind of right around that number. The Bruins had that 9-0-1 start, and since then they've been 6-4-2. So if you get those runs, then you kind of distance yourself maybe from some of the other teams. The Bruins have played Florida twice. They actually played really well down in Florida last week or a week and a half ago. Florida was the better team at the beginning of the game, and Linus Ullmark was outstanding. And then the Bruins really had some traction there and shut them down in the third period. And I think they won that game 3-1. We've only seen Toronto once, and that was at the TD Garden in Boston. Good game. Usually have good games against them.
Well, looking forward to it.
Tampa was good. Tampa was good against the Bruins recently. They actually took it to them a bit offensively, and the Bruins were off defensively. And I think it was a 5-4 game or something like that, and Tampa won in overtime. So I the usual suspects, I guess that's my answer for you. And Detroit has beaten the Bruins twice.
Looking forward to it. Sorry, I got to cut you off. They're telling me I got 40 seconds to go here, but really appreciate your feedback. Have a great call tomorrow night. We're really looking forward to the game. Thanks for doing this.
So am I. Thanks, guys. Thanks,
Bob Peers.
Thanks. Okay. Really appreciate it.
So who's chasing who? Who do you like, Boston or Florida right now? As more of a complete team?
I'd say Florida. Florida's impressed me the most out of any team I've watched.
That Boston decor is too good. Still too good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty close. So good it measuring is. Stick for the it Toronto is. Maple Leafs tomorrow night.
Russian poor beauty. When I say bye-bye, I know the timing. I can figure things out. When I say
it's
bye-bye.
Off the rails Friday. I fell asleep at the wheel. Give me a break. All right. We're not going away for long here. We're going to take a break, and we're going to welcome in Doug McClain. Oh, my. I can't wait to hear this one.
I know. Been a bit.
Off the Rails Friday continues after the break. Real Kipper and Bourne.